Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 29.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
This week, we've got interviews with New Hampshire Fisher Cats pitching coach Jim Sykowski, catcher Jack Murphy, and outfielder Corey Aldridge. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the All-Star Break Supplement. Both are available at smashwords.com and together provide you with the most comprehensive coverage of the Toronto Blue Jays minor league system. The handbook contains profiles of over 250 minor league players in the Blue Jays system, along with information about following all of the Jays minor league affiliates. It's available for just $7.99 US, and it's not too late to get in on the action. The All-Star Break Supplement is available for only $2 US and provides updates on the Jays' prospects, as well as complete rosters, new player profiles, and coverage of the 2014 draft and international signing period. You can get it at smashwords.com. Stay tuned for my interview with New Hampshire Fisher Cats pitching coach Jim Sykowski. I spoke to Jim just a day before Daniel Norris went out onto the mound for his last Double-A start. Following that interview, you'll hear from catcher Jack Murphy and outfielder Corey Aldridge. Welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm here with pitching coach for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Jim Sykowski. Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So you're here in New Hampshire this year. You've been in Vancouver before. What's it like, you know, working with a different level of pitchers?
Well, it's much different. With the younger guys, you're teaching them how to become a professional. At this level, they've been through the wars a couple of times through the seasons, and they're a little more polished, a little more what they know, what they want to do and stuff like that. So the off the field and stuff like that, I don't have to teach them much. It's more on field, mental preparation, picking out hitters and stuff like that, how to attack hitters. More of the mental game at this level than before.
Now, do you prefer to teach the mental game as opposed to the physical game?
Well, it's all part of developing a player. You've got to do a little bit of both. Sometimes there's couple of guys this year that we've had that were, this is really their first full season, Matt Boyd and Kendall Graveman, and so there is some of that, but at this level it's more fine-tuning some of the guys' mechanics, getting guys ready and keeping them sharp, keeping them healthy, managing the bullpen so that the manager has a fresh bullpen every night and stuff like that.
Now, are there any players here in New Hampshire or have been here throughout this year that you had had in Vancouver or you'd had at another stop along the way?
Yeah, this is a stop where Aaron Sanchez was here, Blake McFarlane. Most of the young guys who were in this organization, I've had them at some level the last, you know, 3 years they were in Vancouver or something like that. I would say there's maybe a handful that I haven't had. Some of these guys that we'd signed from six-year free agent from other organizations I haven't had, but I saw them in Dunedin, and so I know most of them.
So the ones that you've seen before, is there anyone who's sort of their improvement has really stepped up a level this year?
Well, they were good when we drafted them, and that's why we drafted them. And seeing that their skills get refined is enjoyable to watch. There's no one in particular. We all know that the Sanchez and Daniel Norrises of the world have outstanding stuff. It's fun to see that they complete that package and make it a good big league type material. And it's coming around. Daniel Norris is just around the corner. Aaron's already made it to the big league, so that's fun and exciting, and we'll hope to see some more of it.
Now, did you have a chance to coach Taylor Cole in Vancouver?
2 years of Taylor Cole. I'm almost tired of him. But he's a great guy, good pitcher, knows what he wants to do out on the mound. We've talked plenty. He was coming off a two-year mission and 1 year of college when we got him, so he was really kind of drained after his season at the school he was at, and he's starting to come around. His fastball's starting to come back a little bit, just like we anticipated, and he's a fine young man.
Now, is he starting today?
Starting today, yes.
And this will be his first Double-A start, so is there anything that you've talked to him about in particular, about anything he might see differently than he had seen down in Dunedin?
Well, we talked about these hitters. We're playing the Phillies organization. They're Double-A, so he's seen some of these guys the last few years. So it's not anybody really new to him. He sat on the bench last night. We talked over some hitters and stuff like that. So he's got a pretty good game plan going into today.
Now, is there anything that you can say sort of about what makes Double-A different from, let's say, short season A or even, you know, up to the majors and Triple-A? So at the point, what's going to separate a pitcher who's pitching at this level from, you know, moving up to the next level?
I don't think it's so much moving up to the next level. It's this level. Double-A is a big jump from A-ball. I think it's the point of a guy's career where, yes, it's a kid's game, but now men are playing it. And so they get away of those college-type atmosphere of A-ball and stuff like that. And now it's work. It's fun work. Don't get me wrong. It's a game, but there's men playing it. And to be good at this game, you've got to be real good at playing a man's type baseball game.
And is that a piece of advice you give to some of the players who are coming up from the lower levels, especially as they go against some of the veterans, especially like the ones on this team, like Corey Aldridge and Yusuf Carter, and these guys have been around for a while?
Well, that's the fact, is that there are men that have been in this game for a while that are playing and happen to be at this level. And if you don't step up your game to match theirs, you're going to fall by the wayside. And this is their no turning point. Basically, you don't want to go back to A-ball. You want to keep on advancing from here. So, yeah, I tell them that every spring training, and when we broke camp this year, that, you know, now it's your men. You're no longer boys playing, you know, drafted out of high school. This is now men game, and big leagues, it's even more heightened of men playing a boys game.
Now, I just have one more question, and it's, pertains to a player who's come up and gone down a couple of times, and that's Matt Boyd. What does he need to do to be able to be successful here at Double-A? Because he's obviously not had very many problems with the hitters that he plays against in Dunedin, but he has had a few more problems when he's come up here. So is there anything specific that he has to really figure out before he will be successful here?
Well, a couple times that he's come up, we've talked to him, and he's got the stuff. There's no doubt about it. But sometimes there's something, maybe mechanically, that he can't make the adjustment. Sometimes he outthinks himself and gives hitters too much credit. And I know this is a league that, you know, there's jump, and there are some good hitters, but they're not all that good. If they were, they'd be in the big leagues. So. Sometimes he may give them a little bit too much credit and not really attack them in the zone like we know he's capable of, because we see it when he goes back to Dunedin. But, you know, also in his defense, it's his first full season. So, I mean, he's been pretty much put into the fire of real good competitive baseball. And college baseball is not the same as professional, no aluminum bats. These bats break, and sometimes college pitchers avoid contact, where we're stressing the opposite. We wanted you to go after guys and force contact in your counts. So he's learning, and hopefully it's just not a stumbling block, but just a little, you know, setback that he can sit back and then start readjusting his game a little bit to fit more of the pro style.
Well, we want to thank Jim Sikowski for joining us on the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Jim, good luck with the game tonight and tomorrow as well.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back. back to the podcast. I'm here with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats catcher, Jack Murphy. And not only is he a Fisher Cats catcher and a player in the Blue Jays minor league system, but he's also an Australian folk hero. So let's welcome Jack Murphy to the podcast.
Happy to be here.
So, Jack, first of all, I'm asking this question on behalf of Twitter follower at Captain Latte. Captain Latte wants to know, how's your hair doing today, and what's going on with it?
Well, it's a little shorter than I would like, but you know, we have certain rules with the Blue Jays, so it's growing. I'd say it's growing right now.
So, are you looking forward to the off season when you can grow it out a little bit longer?
Yeah, that's always one of the best parts about the off season is a little relief from some of the rules that we have around here.
So, while we're talking about the off season, you've spent the last two off seasons down in Australia playing for the Canberra Cavalry, who have not only won a championship there, you've won the Asia Series. How's that been, and do you plan to go back?
Well, first of all, the first 2 years were incredible. I mean, we had a really great run in Canberra for 2 years, a great group of guys. You know, it was just fantastic. They created a good environment there, a lot of really good people that run that organization. So we were, you know, very, very fortunate. And Blue Jays do a good job. They have a great relationship sending guys over there. So thankful for the Blue Jays for sending me over there and Canberra for the 2 years that we had there. But I don't know. We'll see about the third year. We're trying to finish this season strong, trying to get to 500 with the Fisher Cats, and that's our main concern right now.
Now, while we're talking about Australia, what's it like playing down there? It's obviously their summer, so you do get some very hot temperatures down there. There's a lot of travel. I mean, it's a very big country, and you're playing all over the country. How does that compare to life, you know, in, let's say, the Eastern League?
Well, it's different. In Canberra, we only bus to Sydney, which is like 2.5 hours. In the Eastern League, you bus to every different city. The rest of the cities we fly, and they're, you know, besides Perth, everything's about an hour and a half flight. So the travel is actually really easy there. But, you know, it's different. The people are a little, you know, they're a little, you know, baseball's fairly new to them, you know, and they like it. Compared to some of their sporting events they have there, baseball is faster relatively. So, you know, it's different. It's awesome. But baseball's baseball, whether you play it here or Australia.
Now, do you have something to talk about when you've come across some Australian players in the Blue Jays organization? Like Liam Hendricks was with you with the organization for most of the year. Ryan Roland Smith was up in Buffalo. Do you have anything to talk about with them, or just, you know, regular baseball stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, Hendricks is he's a Perth guy, and Canberra and Perth, we've played them in the finals the last 2 years. A little bit of a rivalry between the two teams, and so he'll wear his Perth heat to the games and stuff when we were in Buffalo, and, you know, I'll give him a little bit of flack about it. He gives me flack because he thinks I'm more popular in Australia than he is, and I'm not Australian, so that rubs him a little bit the wrong way. But, yeah, no, we have a good laugh about it. We talk about, you know, they're actual Australians. I'm just really a vacationer there in the summertime.
And what's it like to go down with some of your teammates from here? Last year you had Michael Krause and John Birdie and Shane Opitz down there with you. What's that like when you know some of the guys already?
It's awesome. You know, I mean, Krause and I have played together almost every year of my career. And Birdie and I have played together for a couple years. It's the first time I played with Opie. It's awesome. It makes, you know, it was easier for them because I had been there once before. I knew all the Australian guys and the coaches and the other players on the team. So it smooths that transition out for them, and it, you know, it's good. It's awesome for me to have buddies that I've played with over in the States, and I'm living and playing with them over there. So it works out great. They do a good job. The Blue Jays do a fantastic job of the guys they send out there.
Now, one last question. One last question about Australia. Have you seen a growth in not only the game but the quality of the Australian players down there?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's – you know, what they're trying to do is that Australia struggles to get position players to contribute as everyday players in the major leagues because they just don't have the same kind of system as we do where guys get to play every day and travel ball in high school and scout teams and college. They don't have that there. So what they're trying to do with the ABL is develop the Australian talent while also, you know, importing players and putting a good product on the field. So, yeah, they improve, and we have a young guy, Robbie Perkins, and he goes there, and he's with the Rockies, and he'll catch once or twice a week and play outfield once or twice, and, you know, he'll get over, you know, almost 200 at bats, and that's what it's good for them, you know, that they get a chance to play more and at a level that kind of compares to the levels over here to help them prepare for the season.
So now let's talk about the Fisher Cats a little bit. You guys haven't had, especially to the beginning of the season, it wasn't a great start, but you've really come on strong lately, last night's game notwithstanding. What's been different, or what has improved since the All-Star break, pretty much, when the Fisher Cats have done quite a bit better?
Well, you know, I wasn't here for the first couple months or so, but, you know, I follow the games. I've got a lot of buddies on the team, and so I think more than anything, our pitching has been better. Our pitching has been really good. Our bullpen's been really strong. They've come together well. Our hitting has struggled at times, but it's been timely. When you're going to win, you got to have good pitching. You got to have timely hitting. So I think our hitting's definitely been timely over the last couple months. Our pitching has been stellar, you know, for most of the year. So, you know, it starts up the middle. You know, it starts with the pitcher to the catcher to the, you know, all the way up the middle, and we've done a good job. I mean, the guys have come together. I think at the beginning of the year, we've done a lot of transactions, a lot of moves. But over, you know, throughout the year, I think everybody's come together, learned their roles, and they're doing a better job at executing what they do well.
Now, it's come to me from a number of sources that you're one of the best defensive catchers in the organization, and one of the catchers that the pitchers really like to pitch to. Where do you think that comes from, or what do you think, what skills have you developed that you think translates into making pitchers like throwing to you?
Well, I tell other catchers a lot, like, it starts with knowing the pitchers off the field or, you know, in the clubhouse, getting to know them on a personal level so that they trust you out on the field. So that's one of the things I try to pride myself on, having a relationship with each one of those guys so that when it comes down and they're in a jam in the, you know, in the game, that they trust me and they have faith and confidence when they're going against that guy and we need to get that out. So it starts there and then it moves on. You know, I've been with a lot of these guys for a long, like Casey Lawrence, for example. We've played together every year of his career since 2010, with the exception of last year. And so I know these guys really well. And so, you know, it starts in the clubhouse, works its way to working with them in the bullpens and stuff before the games. And then it translates into the game.
Now, during the game, how do you sort of use that information or how that knowledge of the pitcher to help you decide what to call or set up batters or things like that?
Well, ultimately, it's their game. It's the pitcher's game, right? So I'm just making suggestions. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't have anything to do with what I call or what they call. It's about executing the pitch and going with what they feel most comfortable with. So if that means they feel comfortable with what I'm putting down or what they have in their mind, then that's what they're going to throw best. So, you know, you get a feel for these guys and what they like to do over the course of a season. And this is kind of that time of the year where you know each one of the guys, what their pitch is, what helps them get guys out. And you just go with that. And you match their strengths up against the hitter's strengths. And ultimately, the pitchers typically come out successful.
Now, let's say in a case like last night where it was Taylor Cole's first start at this level and with this team, and he was pitching to Derek Chung, who, you know, looking at sort of their careers haven't exactly overlapped very much in terms of playing at the same level at the same time. Let's say you were catching a guy for the first time during the season in a real game format. What would you sort of be thinking about, and what would you do to help move things along and really try to get that rapport?
Well, first thing I'll tell guys is that, look, it's baseball's baseball, whether it's Lansing, Dunedin, New Hampshire, Buffalo, or the big leagues. It's baseball, right? So, you know, you find out what their strengths are. You ask them what they like to do, and then you try to go out there and execute it. And you read the hitters as well as you can. But, I tell these guys who come up out of, you know, the Florida State League, and that you got to pitch off your fastball. You have to command your fastball at this level. Guys are not going to – you fall behind, you throw an off-speed pitch, they're not just going to chase it. You're going to find yourself 2-0, 3-1 a lot. So I try to establish the fastball with them, and then from there we work their secondary stuff in there. But, you know, Cole's going to have a lot of success here. You can't measure guys based on their first, second, third start at this level, because it's different. There's a lot of polished hitters here. There's a lot of guys who have played the game for a long time at this level, so it's different. It's a lot different than high A ball, so they just have to, you know, you got to take your time and let these guys develop.
Now, everybody knows some of the bigger names on this club, like Daniel Norris and Dalton Pompey, but who do you, aside from those guys, who who do you look at and say, you know, he's, you know, he plays the game the right way. He's got it. He's, you know, if he gets a shot, he can really make something of himself. Who of some of the people that, some of the players that, that the general public might not know about, would you say really impresses you?
Well, I look at, you know, I catch these pitchers all the time. So I look at pitchers and, you know, everybody wants to see guys light up the radar gun. Everybody wants to be the Aaron Sanchez or, you know, the Daniel Norris, the top prospects that move quickly. But you look at guys like Randy Boone and KT Lawrence that go out there consistently year in and year out and put up good numbers and do a great job. But, you know, for whatever reason, they have to do their time at each level, and that's part of the game. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But those guys, I mean, Lawrence, Booney, Bibbins, Dirks, those guys know how to pitch. They do a really good job getting hitters out consistently. And without those guys, none of, you know, we don't win 54 games. I mean, Lawrence has been spectacular all year. He's getting some, you know, attention now because he's having such a good year at this level. Booney's been doing it for a long time. I think he might have just got passed by Deck at the beginning of the year for most wins as a Fisher Cat. And he's been at this level for a long time with some AAA time. And, you know, he knows what he's doing, you know. And so hopefully guys like that, they get opportunities to move up and hopefully succeed at the big league level.
Well, we hope that you get a chance to go back to Buffalo soon. And we hope that you get a chance to succeed at the next level and the one after that. So thanks a lot for joining us. It's Jack Murphy. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by New Hampshire Fisher Cats outfielder Corey Aldridge. Welcome to the podcast, Corey.
Hey, happy to be here. I'm happy to be a part of it.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on right now before we get into your past a little bit, because, you know, you've been around a lot. You've played a lot of different places. But what's going on here with New Hampshire? How are things going?
I'll tell you what, I'm looking at a lot of guys with a lot of potential, a great coaching staff, and just another opportunity to play ball. It's definitely a blessing to be here, and it's been fun.
Now you've been kind of on a little bit of a tear with the bat a little bit. Do you feel like you're in the zone right now?
No. I think it's been a work in progress. I'm not really where I want to be, but I've been able to, you know, mix in some RBIs when I can and swing the bat. But I think hitting is always a work in progress, and you know, I'm definitely fortunate to have, you know, a staff here, especially with, you know, Nuns and Meech that are, you know, that want to work. And it's been tough because, you know, I've been here and then I've been in AAA and I've been here and had break. And so it's been a little inconsistent. It's not where I want to be, but, you know, definitely blessed to have, you know, the numbers that I do have.
Now, you say it's a work in progress. Like, what kinds of things are you working on when you, whether it's in BP or whether it's at actually in the game situations?
With me, it's more or less consistency. I think my history has proven that I can hit. I've definitely been blessed to hit, and but I think it's more consistency with me. I know that me and again, I go back to Nuns and just even the organization is all about, you know, my bat angle and keeping it consistent through the zone with anybody. But I know me particularly, in order for me to actually be good. And that's something that I've definitely in the past few days have been just trying to lock it in and give myself a chance every at bat.
Now, can you tell some of our listeners, you've had kind of a roller coaster ride this season alone. Can you tell about our listeners about what you've experienced throughout since the start of the season?
I mean, I came off a great year in winter ball in Venezuela. And you know, my hopes and goals were to get a job to go into Japan or back to Korea. And I had a lot of leads to go back there. I thought it was going to work out. And so I ended up going to Mexico, and which is a solid place to play at times. And it was an easy way for me to possibly get out of my contract to go there. And, you know, I just one of those situations where I prayed and prayed about a better opportunity to maybe do something better for my career. And you know, I had some talks with the Blue Jays and a few other teams, and you know, I was fortunate to sign with the Blue Jays, and you know, I'm a role player, you know, you know the thing about affiliated ball is you have guys that they're, you know, everybody trying to develop and get better, and the Blue Jays are doing their best to make themselves a World Series team, and I think they're going about that the right way. And you know, I've been here, and one of my main jobs really to me is just to somehow, some way, even if I'm not in the lineup, to help a team win, whether I'm in Buffalo or here, even if, you know, I get that call to the big leagues, just because of my experience and age. You know, people are always here, and I know this organization has some players, especially in New Hampshire, that are hungry to get better. And I think that's where I come in a lot, you know, especially with the hitting part of it, and just even some of the defense of just talking to guys and trying to be a better help them be better players.
Now, you've also played in Korea, as you mentioned. So what's that like? I mean, I would hope that some of our listeners have an idea of what it's like to play in Canada and the United States. But Korea seems like a very foreign place.
It's nothing like here, but it's the safest country in the world. I will say this, man, and all due respect to any fans in the world listening, I would say Korean fans, or even I would say Asian fans, are probably the best fans I've ever seen. Excuse me. They are. The one thing I like about them is they want to see a good game. You never hear any bad heckling and things like that. But playing there to me was great. You know, I would hope that I can get myself back there, or even Japan, and just to play there. Number one, it's a great opportunity for me and my kids. But, you know, just a good opportunity to extend my career in a positive way. You know, it was unfortunate that I went there. I got hurt. But, I put up some good power numbers and RBIs, and so I'm hoping that can give me a chance to maybe go back there in the near future.
And how's your Korean language skills?
Not bad. I mean, I'm losing it. Like, I'm really good with Spanish. My English is okay, but I learned a lot there, and it was a great experience. It's my favorite food of all times now. I think I've eaten it 3 days in a row here in the last 3 days. So, yeah, I loved it, and you know, it's definitely a blessing to get there, and anytime you can put a uniform on and play. And get paid to play, especially if it's a solid amount of money, you know, you just get on your knees and you thank God.
Now let's talk a little bit about you know, New Hampshire, and I noticed just before batting practice you were regaling some of the players. There were about four or five guys gathered around you. Now you may not be able to tell the same story, but you know, what kinds of things are you talking to the players about?
Every day is different. I mean, the one thing that I like about being here is I remember when I was in these guys' positions of having an older guy that, you know, maybe had some major league time, or, you know, that had played well or whatever. And that's how you learn. That's how I think the game a lot is getting away from that, because everything is so young. But I think that I hope that organizations adhere to that, is that you're going to learn more with older guys on your team, whether they're playing every day or not. You're helping your players out. And I know these guys, like I said, they're thirsty to learn. Every day there's a question. You know, I had a guy yesterday, I'm not going to say his name, but he asked me personally about hitting left-handed pitching. Now, I've been in the past few years, I've hit three or four years, I've been a 300 hit off lefties. This year has been suspect, but, you know, I have my philosophy. It helped him, you know, and I like to do that. I like to see guys. I think I posted a Twitter post today about – or yesterday, about just being around a good group of guys that want to learn and being hungry. And I love seeing guys take something to the cage or take something to the field and having immediate results. And every day it's something in the cage, in the locker room. You know, if we go out to eat or even, you know, have a beer or something, you know, that's the one thing I've done with a lot of these guys. You know, we talk, and it seems to help them. And the more they ask questions, the more that I know that they're really wanting to learn. I mean, you got the Burns and Bertie McDade, and I'm trying to think who else I was just talking to. Chung was a guy I talked to yesterday in the game. The whole time he looked at me and he's like, how do you know all this stuff? I said, man, I've been playing since I was 17. I said, you know, some guys play for a long time and don't know anything. I said, but, you know, you're always a student of the game. Even if you're coaching, you're still learning, because you can never master the game of baseball.
Now, is that something that you would like to do when you're finished playing? Would you like to go into a coaching role?
You know, that's kind of my debate right now, is what would be my role in baseball when I'm done. Do I even want to stay in baseball? I enjoy this, and I hate to say it, I enjoy the role I have right now as much as I want to go to the big leagues, and even if it's for a day or two, but and go to Japan and Korea. But I feel like I'm almost a player coach because of what I do with the younger guys. And, you know, I'll take the guys to the cage and I look at them, and me and Nuns, we talk about guys. And he knows that, you know, they'll want to hear from a player like me maybe it's more times than they want to hear from their coach, just because they see me maybe do it, or, you know, they maybe seen my history or what I've done recently. Well, whatever. You go out and hit a home run and get a base hit with guys in scoring position, and they're like, okay, what did you do? What did you think? I've been approached with, you know, scouting and front office stuff and coaching, and I don't know, man. I would like to somehow have a role in literally just being a person that almost like a rover that really just goes and talks and vets players, seeing what they're thinking, getting their mind right in order to even be able to be a big league player. Because I don't think that minor league ball prepares you for the big leagues, other than, you know, you get your fundamentals, but there's a lot more that goes into just playing than being physically ready. And I kind of want to be that guy. I don't know what you would call it. I don't know if there's even a job title for it. I don't even know if you want to call it a sports psychologist, but something where I can be that guy, especially after just playing and going into that role. And, you know, if the Blue Jays would have me, I would love to. It's been more than a first-class organization, so I would hope that I can have something that role when I say I'm done putting these cleats on.
All right, and one more question for you. Who is the person, or can you name a player or two maybe who have filled that role for you, that the player who taught you things that maybe you wouldn't have gotten anywhere else?
My first real big league guy that I can honestly say that talked to me every single day was Greg Maddux. Why he liked me to this day, I don't know. I remember we basically kind of became friends because we were born in the same hospital. And he took me during the infield one day. He stopped the whole infield when I was throwing from left field. He says, hold up, you know, stop it. And he did something with my head. He said, listen, your head's pulling off your throw. Keep your head straight, blah, blah, blah. Next throw, four seams, one hop, home plate. That was great. But I had a lot of guys. You know, growing up with the Braves, we had, number one, you had Bobby Cox. That's all you have to say is Bobby Cox. You had Chipper Jones. And one of the biggest guys that he bought me my first suit and outfit was Bernard Gilkey. So we had, you know, and that was the big thing then. Even in Double A, we had older guys that stepped in and made sure that guys like me at 20, 21, and however old some of these guys are, 23, 24, you make sure that you are doing big league caliber stuff.
Well, great. Well, thanks a lot. That's Corey Aldridge. He's an outfielder with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, and we wish you the best of luck for the rest of this season and beyond.
Thank you very much, and you got a great bunch of guys here, man. It's exciting to watch.
That's it for episode number 29 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Jim Psychowski, Jack Murphy, and Corey Aldridge for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back next week, and go Jays go! No, no.